from Christmas and in the freedom of this place to honor the birth of the Savior who came into the world so that we could celebrate life, that we could celebrate hope, joy, peace, love, all those great characteristics that we long for in life. And we thank you, Lord, that in this moment and in this time, we can reflect on you and celebrate all that you are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. Yeah, nice to have you here. Okay, Juan, I'm stealing your music stand here, and I'll put it back right after, okay? Yeah, hey, listen, do you have a favorite movie that you could watch over and over and over again? Yeah. Yeah, don't we all have a favorite movie? And it doesn't matter that we know the end. Doesn't matter that we know all the characters. Doesn't matter that we know all the plot twists. Doesn't matter that, you know, we could recite lines out of the movie. It doesn't matter, right? But we can watch it over and over and over and over again because it does something to us, doesn't it? It just evokes memories. It evokes images. It just makes us feel good, you know? And isn't Christmas time the worst for the movies? Don't you have a movie that you got to watch every Christmas? No? You know, I read some time ago that there's a way of telling a person's character by the Christmas movie that they have to watch. What does it say about you if you have to see A Wonderful Life or you have to see The Grinch? Like, you know, what does it say about you? Or what about Christmas Vacation? Yeah, I will never look at a Dickie again the same way, ever. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You guys know what that is, right? Did I just get myself in big trouble here, you know? Or you know, Christmas, you know, or A Christmas Story and a BB gun, you know? Like I grew up where kids, you know, that's what we got, but you know, that's not the way it is. But it doesn't matter, right? We all have these beautiful traditions, and it could be a book. I'm not just talking about movies. It could be a book that you read over and over again. But movies, and we love that stuff. And I know for Darlene and I, we have certain movies that we've got to watch every Christmas, and it just retells everything, and it just brings it all to life again for us. And, you know, here we are a few days from Christmas and, you know, talking about those stories that we have to repeat over and over again, but the stories that mean so much to us because they remind us of everything that we love, everything that we're hopeful for, everything that we enjoy. And a few days from Christmas, what else can we look at this morning but the story of Jesus and the birth, and a story that many of us have heard time and time and time again. And just like that movie that we have to see every year, here we are again recounting the greatest story that has ever been told, the greatest story that has ever come into humanity, the greatest story that has ever been written, because it has been written by God. It is a story that has been written by God for all of humanity, for all of us to enjoy, for all of us to see it for what it is, to bring into the world the very things that God wants us to know and to hear and to be reminded of. Because every year at this time, don't we long for world peace, the world to get along, people to be okay, every child to have a toy, every family to be able to sit together. You know, all those things that we long for as people, as humans, all of that resonates really strongly at this time of year. So we're just going to keep it very simple, repeat the story, be reminded of the great truths that this story brings out, because it is the greatest story ever told. And sometimes we can become so familiar with the movie, we can become so familiar with the story, that we can forget the impact of the truth that it exhibits. We can forget the impact of what that story really is meant to remind us of year and year and year and year and year. It's always, you know, as a pastor, it's always the most difficult time of year to stand up and retell the story. And I, you know, and I got to admit, I was looking at ways of, you know, telling it in a whole different way and all that stuff. And I really got myself in a mess. And then I went, wait, stop, you know. We don't have to do this fancy in any way, shape, or form, because the story itself is powerful. And we can just talk about it today, be reminded of some things today, because there are those of you who desperately need some hope today and are here this morning. There are those of you who desperately long to be loved this morning. There are those of you here this morning that would love to have some peace in your life. And there's those of you that are longing for a sense of joy that goes beyond the circumstances of your life. And that's why this story is so powerful, because it brings all those elements to bear. Because that's the Advent. That's the Advent season that we enjoy, are those four themes and four characteristics that come out at Christmas. Now, last week, we gave you a statement. We are doing a series of Their Story, My Story. And we gave you this quote last week. We gave you this statement last week about faith. It's Lizzie, can I have the next frame, please? Thanks. Thank you. Faith at some point will demand an act of courage that will either confront a fear in you or a threat to you. Now, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've been a believer for any amount of time, you've lived that out, that faith at some point is going to demand an act of courage from you, that it's going to deal with something that you're very fearful of inside, or something that's an external threat to you, that's going to challenge your faith, that's going to say to you, you need to step out and to trust God. And it's something that if you've been a believer for any amount of time, you know, you've experienced this, that the very thing that you're often fearful inside of yourself is the very thing that God's going to challenge you to trust him on. Or something that's outside of you. You know, what if I lose my job? What if I don't graduate? What if they don't love me? What if they don't, you know, how many of us have those kinds of fear? And isn't it amazing how God walks you sometimes through the greatest threat in your life, and you end up coming out the other side, and God's walked you through it, and God's been there for you every step of the way. Now, why I start with this? Because the Christmas story of Mary and Joseph is so powerful, because we forget about the context that these young people are in, okay? So let me read just a bit of the story from Luke 2, and we'll continue from there. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now, I love this, obviously pregnant. Isn't that wonderful? And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. We are so familiar with that story. And we've said before that biblical stories are meant to be a mirror for us, but a window into God. And when we look at the story of Mary and Joseph, we can often forget that in the context, it was a very difficult time for them. If you know anything about the Roman Empire, Augustus Caesar was the grandnephew of Julius Caesar, who was assassinated. And this guy was, he brought the Pax Romana into the ancient world at that time, which was called Roman peace. And he actually defeated Antony and Cleopatra. If you know anything about the Roman emperor and all of that, and he was known as Octavian. And there was a Marian inscription that says this about him. It says, "Divine Augustus Caesar, son of a god, imperator of land and sea, the benefactor and savior of the whole world." That is what the Roman emperor was considered at the time. And here he is ruling over this area of the ancient Near East and commands a census that drives Mary and Joseph from Nazareth on to Bethlehem. And so many of us know the story. But how many of us realize Mary is just a teenage girl who has been given the miracle of birth without having to experience it the way all of us have had to experience it, right? The Immaculate Conception. Now, you have to understand, a teenage girl at that time, what kind of a response she would have received at becoming pregnant, especially when she is engaged to be married to Joseph, who, by all accounts in the scriptures, is a man of integrity. There is everything about the Jewish customs, there is everything about the Jewish law that isn't favorable for this couple. In fact, if you were a couple, if you were this couple at the moment, you would be asking God, "Why are you doing this? This is so difficult. You've put us in a very compromising situation. You're threatening our own integrity. You're threatening our own place." It's not a very comfortable situation. And if it wasn't for the angels telling Mary and Joseph exactly what was going on, they would have no idea what was happening. And yet the greatest thing that God was going to do, the greatest thing that God was going to do to the world, he did at this moment. He brought in at this time through two people that you would least expect it. For Jesus to come into the world, you would have expected so much more than just two young people who were disconnected from the powers that be of the time, that were disconnected from the economic structure, who were disconnected from the military structure, the social structure, political structure, government, you name it. And they're in the back area of the regions. And yet God invades in such a way to this couple that they know that God is going to do something in and through them that is amazing. They don't know exactly what yet, but they know it's going to be amazing. I don't know about you, but I don't know how many times I've stood at a certain situation and I've heard God clearly, and I've heard God say, or I've heard God, you know, say, "You've got to move in this direction, or you've got to make this decision, or you need to step out in faith." And there's so many times that I've said to myself, you know, "I'm too afraid, or I'm not sure about this, or maybe this is, I'm not hearing you right." Have you ever said, "God, I don't think I'm hearing you right. Are you really telling me to do this? Are you really prompting me to go in this direction? Are you really prompting me to start this? Are you really prompting me to go there? Are you really prompting me to stop this?" And how many of us at that moment are so unsure of what we're hearing from God that all we know is we're feeling the prodding, but we're not even sure if we're hearing it right? And what happens when we step out? What happens when we step out? Have you ever been on the wave? Have you ever been on I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but you start to move in that direction, and you start feeling like all these doors start opening, or this wave, and you feel like you're on a surfboard and you can't fall off it, but the wave just gets faster and you gets higher and you just can't stop it. And you realize that God's in control and God's got this thing, and you start to move in this direction, and it's like you can't stop it even if you wanted it to. And then by the time you get to the end of the wave, God has done something in your life that you just can't possibly imagine. Have you ever been there? Okay, I'm the only one. Some of you have been there. And you know what it's like. And you know what it's like. Imagine for Mary and Joseph what an amazing journey it was for the two of them. That God chose them to bring his son into the world and to change everything. You know, we've talked about the Advent season. You know, there's four themes in the Advent season that we talk about. We talk about hope, peace, love, and joy. And that's what I love about the Christmas story. That's what I love about the story of Jesus being born in Bethlehem, in a manger, in a place where you wouldn't typically want to have your children born. In a city that wasn't really of any significance at the time. Far away from everything that would have demanded royalty coming into the world. But by doing that, God brought hope into the world. Now, I don't know about you, but there's lots of things in this culture, there's lots of things in this day to not be hopeful about. You know, if you wanted to look at tomorrow and say, why bother? If you wanted to look at the way, you know, if you want to get really pessimistic about the way the world is going. But I think it's beautiful that the one thing that the birth of Jesus brings every year is this idea of hope. Because where would we be without it? Could we look at tomorrow? Could we look at the future? Could we look at our circumstances and situation? And say, I am hopeful about the days that are to come. Because hope is so important. And God has said in his word that those that wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint, right? That God will pick us up and take us into the next day and carry us through to the next. Jesus coming into the world brought hope into the world, that we don't have to be separated from God, that we can be connected, that we can be redeemed, that we can be restored, that we can be fully human again and have the connection with the Creator as we always intended it to be. That we don't have to look at the end of life being the end of life, but see the end of life as the beginning of eternity. That's such a different way to view things. That hope is with us, and it's real, and it's tangible. Peace. How many of us would love some peace? How many of you are dreading getting together with family on Christmas Day? Yeah, that you would like a little bit of peace on that day? I don't know. Yeah. You know, how many of us would love a little bit of peace? That every day it just seems to run faster, go higher, you know, push more, but just a little bit of peace. Peace is the presence of God invading your life. That's the amazing thing. Have you ever noticed how some people can manage the circumstances of their life and they can do it so well, and then other people become totally unraveled by it and you don't know why, and yet they're the very same circumstances. And some people can live with that peace inside of themselves, you know, because there's such a difference because of the way that they view those circumstances, because they don't allow those circumstances to become the determiner of their life. And they can have this peace in the midst of those circumstances. Peace isn't just quietness all around you. Peace is the quietness that lives inside of you as God lives with you. And it makes a big, big difference. Do you realize that Jesus' birth was introduced by peace? And then when Jesus at his ascension and at his resurrection and talked to the disciples and talked to everybody, he kept saying, peace I bring to you. Jesus knew how important it was for each and every one of us to have a sense of peace within us. You don't know how many times as a pastor people have asked to talk to me, and they come into my office or they come into my life, and they say, I just want a little bit of peace in my life. I just want to know that everything's okay. And I just want the voices to stop. Just a little bit of peace in my life. Love. Talk about love. Do you realize love is the only thing that grows exponentially? That the more of it that you give away, the more of it grows inside of you? Do you know that? That love is that powerful? And the Bible talks about love constantly. And it's amazing to me that when we look at the birth story, that the love of God to bring his son into the world, and a story we've heard time and time and time and time and time again, and a story that's been repeated time and time and time and time again, but to think that the Heavenly Father, who could have acted wrathfully towards us, decided to send his son, the second person of the Trinity, to come into human form, to come in weakness as a baby, not fully grown, not in full strength of as a human conqueror or a person of royalty that would have been easily recognized by everybody, but this fragile baby committed into the hands of a teenage girl. There's no better story. There's no greater love. There's no deeper commitment. There's no grander picture. We've heard it time again. We set up the beautiful little nativity scenes, and we love to put the lights and everything around it. But imagine when you're in heaven and you get to experience the depth of that love through a story that we've heard time and time and time again. That's why joy is part of the last part of it. Because when we fully embrace this story, joy becomes a natural outworking. That despite what happens in our lives, that we know that our relationship with God is secure. We know that our eternity with God is secure. That we know that the future is secure. That we know that no matter what happens to us, no matter what comes into our lives, no matter what we're afraid of or whatever threat is coming to us, we can live at least with a joyful expectation of what God's going to do in the midst of it. You know? But we live in such a cynical world that if you live with that kind of joy, people are going to think something's wrong with you, right? You know? Have you ever, you know, I personally love those people where something happens to them and everybody's going crazy and everybody's going wild around them and they're just, there's no drama, right? And it's like, what's the matter with, like, what's with you? What's the matter with you? And it's like, you know, I have a confidence. I have a hope. I have an expectation. I have a joy that I live with. That despite what has happened here, I'm going to be able to move past this in a direction and in a way because I know God is God. You know, we said before there are two things that you got to wrestle with in your own life. That one, that God is good. And that God just does good. And if you can assimilate that into your life, no matter what it is that's going on in your life, that like Mary and Joseph, even though they heard from the angel what was coming, they knew what was happening, and they may have wondered why the circumstances of their lives were working out. Why is it when the baby is ready to be born, you're making us go day's journey in order to have the birth in a place that we don't know, we can't predict, and yet look how the story unfolds. How many of us like that? Advent is one of those moments that asks for us to unclutter our lives and be able to focus on the birth of Jesus and what that brings into the world. You know, there's some here today that their souls are really cluttered. Your soul's cluttered with anger, bitterness, greed, lust. Advent asks you to throw those things out and don't let it clutter your soul anymore. Some of you have things that are cluttering your time, false obligations, shallow social pressures, those kinds of things you should learn to get rid of. And anything that clutters your life, anything that bogs you down from remembering what this beautiful time of year reminds us of. That's what Advent, that's what the birth of Christ reminds us of. That's the beautiful picture of the story that we repeat time and time and time and time again. And yet, how many of us can take the moment to pause and to really reflect on the beauty of a baby in a manger? You know, when I was a kid, Saturday mornings were awesome. The best superhero shows were on, cartoons, Saturday mornings, if you're, right? The best, you know, Saturdays in the summer, and when I was a kid, summer lasted forever. And every Saturday morning, it was cool because I could get up, watch the shows. And that was the one morning of the week that I was allowed to have anything for breakfast. My mom would say, you know, whatever you want, you can have it for breakfast. But one of the things that really enjoyed the most, we had a field right in the middle of the street that we lived in. And we lived back, you know, off a main road. But I remember this one particular Saturday morning getting out because all the kids in the neighborhood were meeting at the field. We're going to play soccer or baseball or whatever. And I remember running out of our house, and as soon as I hit the street, I could hear it. This booming voice that was just breaking the calm of this beautiful Saturday morning. And it's like, I knew right away who it was. You see, in the neighborhood where I grew up, we had this elderly man who every so often would show up on a Saturday morning on our street. And he would stand right in front of the field where us kids used to play. And he would stand facing the street, not facing the field, but facing the street. And he'd be preaching like crazy. And he had this beautiful booming voice. And he would be preaching the gospel. And he would be in his beautiful suit, well-dressed, older man. And he would be in the, you know, 25 degree, 30 degree heat. And I remember him in his booming voice, and he'd be patting himself all the time because he was sweating so bad, you know. And he'd show up every so often in the summers on the street. What was really weird is that he never once tried to talk to us as kids. Not once. And if you knew the street, like, there's nobody except us kids that were playing in the field. Everybody else was sort of locked in their homes. And I kept wondering, why is he sitting here and not like on Warncliffe Road, or, you know, because we had a Canadian Tire like a block and a half. It made more sense for him to like to sit out in front of there, or to sit on Warncliffe Road at the bus stop. Or, you know, there was 100 places within 2 blocks of our house that would have made a lot more sense for him to be there. And I can remember playing soccer and playing baseball with this man in the background preaching the gospel. And it was like, there were times where I would say, you know, he's kind of in the way. You know, have you ever felt that? You know? But you know, years later, I realized something. That in the midst of all the play, and in the midst of all the fun we were having at the moment, what that man was bringing to us was something far more important. And I can remember hearing elements of the gospel as we were playing. And I can remember years later, when I came to faith, for some reason being reminded of this older gentleman that would be on the street, and it was like a light went off. Yeah, he planted something in my life. He planted something in all of our lives. Because as far as I know, a lot of the people that I grew up with ended up becoming Christians. And it was surprising. And I thought that's such a great picture of what happens to us in our own lives. That sometimes we can get so busy. That sometimes we can be so focused on these other things. That the message of Christmas, the heart of Christmas, is sort of longing to be heard in the background. And yet when we fully embrace it, when we fully understand it, when we fully see it for what it is, it takes everything that we're trying to do and changes it dramatically. It just takes the perspective and changes it dramatically. That's what I love about the Christmas story. We can hear it time and time again. We know the characters. We know the outcome. We know everything about it. But until we say, this is my favorite movie, this is my favorite story, and here's why, then it just becomes another movie that ends up on the reel that we never want to see again and never want to enjoy again. It's a beautiful story, and every year, that's why we bring it out again, because it's the greatest story ever told. It's the greatest message ever proclaimed. And it makes all the difference in the world if you embrace the child that came into the world that particular day. Amen. Hope, peace, love, and joy. That's why we love the story, because it brings all of those things into our lives and into our world. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas as I invite the worship team to come up and to close us off this morning. I want to pray for you and your families this week, that as you gather together, that you will enjoy the time that you have together as families, but you will take time to be reminded of the greatest story ever told. A pretty simple one, of just a baby being born. But the potential of that child was much more than we could have ever hoped or imagined, because he is God with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message of Christmas, for the message of Jesus, for this beautiful picture of what it means to embrace this wonderful tale of a young couple who are used of God to bring the Savior into the world. And Lord, for those of us here this morning who have been Christians a long time, we know that in our hearts there's no story that could ever match it. But for those that are here that maybe are hearing it in a different way or in a new way, or have never really thought about it to the degree that we've talked about this morning, I pray, Lord, that you would open up their heart to you. That this wonderful story brings God into our world in a way that allows us to live in relationship with God, allows us to be forgiven of our sins, allows hope and joy to be real, and not looking to an end of a life, but looking to eternal life. So much happens because of a simple baby. So, Lord, as we celebrate this Christmas, may we be reminded of the greatest truth, that God came in human flesh and was born for us so that we could have life and life to the full. We say amen and thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone.